Cassius Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Cassius Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Cassius Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is December 15, 2016. Since the world is in turmoil, most just don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar, heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. And an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. You can always find updates with the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, email address, and our mailing address on our smartphone-friendly blogs, such as prophecyhour.com. Now, prophecyhour.com is our main ministry hub. From there, you can find all the different points of our ministry. If you just want audio, well, try MessiahsBranch.com and Branch.Podomatic. In fact, Branch.Podomatic is where we have links on those other sites, but all of them lead back to Branch.Podomatic, which is very smartphone friendly and even has apps. Speaking of apps, we have an app being made for our ministry period, so it should be easier for you soon. Remember, prayer requests can be sent by United States Postal Service and email with your return address and your phone number to call you back. If you want me to talk to you on the phone and pray with you over the phone, then when you call me, you need to request that, because some people, you know, beat around the bush and they don't do it. If you want a prayer request by phone, say so, and we'll do that. If not, we'll still take your letter or email to the Mission Church, anoint it with oil, and send it back to you by your request with no solicitation for donations. Of course, we don't just plain phone calls, you know, get to talk to me. Anyway, we have a prayer request form on the right-hand side of our Prophecy Hour and MessiahsBranch.com pages to make it easier for you, so you can also try that out. Remember, we are a national satellite program, which is on some FM stations and is simulcast live on the net internationally. It's also right now being broadcast live on YouTube. And I know I'm missing something. Oh, and there's also a thing called the phone bridge. You know, you can find out all those things if you visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com. They will tell you all the different ways in which to find this radio program, at least when it's live. On another note, I want to thank our listener base that is in places like Beijing, China, New Delhi, India, Auckland, New Zealand, Liverpool, United Kingdom, Sydney, Australia, Moscow, Russia, and of course cities right here in the good old USA, as I have to always say this, all over Texas, Aurora, Illinois, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Fresno, California, Anaheim, California, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Anchorage, Northport, Alaska, as well as Wichita, Kansas, which still remains our largest group of listeners, at least when our programs go to podcast later on tonight. Now, a prayer, and we'll bring on tonight's guest, and we'll have a real good program for you. Maybe a little lighter program, but we got a lot to talk about. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not my will, nor my guest will, Father. But please give everyone out there ears in which to hear the truth. Well, since tonight we hit towards the end of the year with a real treat. Our guest has been on with us before, and And his name is Dr. Jerome Croce. He's a Harvard PhD, is a WorldNet Daily senior staff writer. He's authored many books, and he's been on this program talking about those many books over the years, including number one New York Times bestsellers such as The Obama Nation and Unfit for Command. Let's not forget the book, The Great Oil Conspiracy, How the United States Government Hid the Nazi Discovery of Abiotic Oil from the American People. If you haven't heard that story and you really, if you think you know everything about oil, you don't know anything until you read that book and understand what this abiotic oil from is. Anyway, so you should really get his books. All great books, all great facts. But tonight we're going to talk with Dr. Croce about his new book, Night Obama, a parody by Jerome Croce. We'll ask him some final thoughts on Obama, which such as the truth. Will the truth of who he is, will it ever be accepted? Well, let's just welcome him back. Well, welcome back, Dr. Croce. How are you?
Well, I'm great, and it's good to be back with you, Pastor Dan. Thank you.
Yeah, amen. I was trying to think in my memory what first book I interviewed you over from, and it may have been one about Obama, but at least wise, you know, I'm glad the election's over with, or I don't know, a few days, but for the last 8 years, it seems like there's been such a heavy burden with him in office. Do you feel any different now?
Absolutely. I mean, first of all, Pastor Dan, I've been on your show many, many times, and it's always a great honor and pleasure to be on your show. And I can't remember myself which book was the first one we talked about. There have been so many, and I have to thank God for that. I mean, I've been very blessed, and I'm very appreciative to God for all that I've been able to do. This new book, I've known Mr. Trump for maybe 40 years and going way back, and I have great feelings of confidence in his ability to lead. And I worked, you know, with WND as a staff writer, reported on the election. I wrote a lot of stories, I believe, that made an impact on the election. We have millions of readers at WND.com. And as you know, the WND, Joseph Farah, it's a Judeo-Christian orientation to the news. And you know, I've been very proud to work with WND. I've now been there 12 years.
Oh, amen.
And, you know, it passes so quickly, it's hard to remember. And now I'm going to go back in D.C. Joseph Farah asked me if I would start working more in Washington, and I'm going to be a White House correspondent with the administration.
Really?
Yes.
Well, that'll be really good. You know, I really appreciated your work. You know, the first time I ever heard of him, and maybe a lot of people, maybe our listeners don't know about it, but was over John Kerry. Helped make sure that he didn't become president. What was the name of that book?
It was called Unfit for Command, and it was written with John O'Neill, who was my co-author on that book. John O'Neill actually had been in Vietnam and had commanded Kerry's boat after Kerry left and knew the whole story in Vietnam. And I had done a lot of the intelligence work when Kerry was in the Vietnam Veterans Against the War and was working with Madame Binh, the top Viet Cong negotiator at the Paris Peace Talks, while he was yet in the Naval Reserve. And so John and I put the two pieces together, and we came up with Unfit for Command. And I've got to give credit to all the Swift Boat veterans and, who really carried the campaign. I was honored to be the co-author. I think John, with his firsthand experiences in Vietnam, carried the story and was a great hero of that book.
Right.
And, that was the beginning of my political career with writing. I mean, I have been around Washington pretty much all my life.
Right.
In and out, and now will be the first time I really have a residence there to do this, being White House correspondent. I wrote this little book, Good Night Obama, as a parody. I mean, it's a cartoon book. It's meant to be funny. It's like that Good Night Moon, if you remember that book a while ago.
Yeah.
And, it's the cover of it, and you can see it, there's a website, goodnightobama.com. Listeners can go to that while we're talking. And the cover is Obama's got he's got his pajamas on, and he's lying down on his desk at the Oval Office, sleeping. You know, his pajamas have little footies, and he's got a nightcap, and he's got a cigarette in the ashtray on the desk while he's sleeping. At the corner, there's his golf clubs, so he's got them handy. And you look out the window behind the Oval Office desk, and there's the Muslim moon. So, I mean, you know, that's how goodnight Obama starts. And I wanted to celebrate, you know, saying goodnight to all these policies he's given us that I just assumed we get rid of, and maybe we will get rid of. But you got to laugh at it. I mean,
yeah.
If you don't have the ability to laugh at some of this stuff, you're going to start crying.
Yeah, that's a fact. I said when we first come on, I've had such a heaviness. It was really strange waking up without, you know, after Trump won the election, because I felt like a heavy weight had been lifted off of my shoulders, because, you know, I got up every day wondering what kind of crazy thing am I going to hear that Obama did again. You know what I mean?
Oh, I think there were millions of people all across the United States praying that we would not have Hillary, because the attack on First Amendment was going to be hard, and the Second Amendment, taking away guns. I mean, our freedoms, Hillary had in her sights that she was going to go after our freedoms, and this whole LGBT issue was going to get used to the extreme. You know, I mean, I'm not going to discriminate against anybody, and I'm not going to judge anybody. God doesn't say we're supposed to be the judge. He'll handle being the judge of everything that happens here.
Right.
And doesn't need me to get involved. I'll be open. But, you know, by the time we're talking about transvestites in the military and sex change operations, I mean, now the Democrats have just gone off the reservation. I mean, they're gone nuts. And I have in here one of the pictures of Obama's out in front of the White House. He's got a plug in his pajamas, his electrical plug, and he's plugging in the lights on the White House, the rainbow color lights on the White House. And then, you know, so it's goodbye rainbow victories. And then the next page, he's sleeping on a mattress of $100 bills just freshly printed by the Treasury. He's sound asleep, and it's, you know, good night, $10 trillion in new debt that he's created. Well, you might think he'd get up and handle the debt issue, and less on the LGBT issue. I mean, we accomplished all this stuff on LGBT, but we've done nothing on the debt.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't make any sense. I mean, where's the priority or the logic in this? I mean, you know,
not to interrupt, but I really do think that we should have listened to him a little better when he said, you know, he was going to fundamentally change America. Well, he did. That was his priority. We just didn't know how he was going to do it.
Well, and when I wrote Obama Nation, remember, I told everybody this was a socialist. And I've got the picture, you know, goodnight 8 years of fundamental change. And there's Obama up at the podium, and he's holding a copy of Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. Of course, he's still wearing his famous pajamas here, Obama. And, you know, goodnight voters twice believing what I said. And he's got a sneer on his face as if he's just fooled everybody. But, you know, that's the whole spirit of this is goodnight, Obama. I mean, you know, it's and don't let the door hit you on the way out.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm looking at that, folks. I'm looking at that website and that picture, and the picture is really funny. I'm going to have to get this book myself. I just stumbled across this the other day, and then I said, well, I wanted to talk to you about it. But
sure.
I can't wait to get this book, because it'll put me in a lighter mood about the guy. You know what I mean?
Well, I think it's going to be a great Christmas gift, and now we can say Merry Christmas again. We don't have to go through all this Happy Holiday stuff.
Yeah, I noticed that with Trump the other night.
Oh, Trump's going to say Merry Christmas. Nothing's going to stop Trump from saying Merry Christmas, I can guarantee you, like he did last night. And I got a picture of the guy. You know, one picture here is goodnight birth certificate of unknown source, and then goodnight jobs without any remorse. And one picture there, the guy's got his white out, and he's making up the birth certificate. And the next picture, the factory's closed. Moved to Mexico, and I'll shut it up. I mean, this is the, you know, this is the, and again, you have to think, you know, we've gone through all this with the birth certificate. Tonight, at the top of the hour, Sheriff Arpaio is going to have his press conference.
And, yeah, it's going to be live on Facebook, I'm pretty sure, isn't it?
Yes, and also WND.com is going to live stream it.
Oh, is WND going to do it? Well, that's a better place to go for it, folks. WorldNetDaily.com, that's where you go, folks, for that, and make sure you check out all their great books. Back to you. I just wanted to plug it up.
I think you're going to find out that the final conclusion is that the birth certificate was always a fraud, and that's going to be announced today by Sheriff Arpaio. I think it's going to be big news.
What do you think about that? Now, 8 years later, and I realize, you know, I've been telling my wife and other people for 8 years that say, you know, first, the administration isn't going to prosecute themselves, so to speak. But now that he's gone, do you think that the truth will be accepted? Not because I think there's enough proof there. You proved it to me beyond a shadow of a doubt. But having said that, do you think people will ever accept the truth?
Yes, I think so. I mean, there's good biblical references, which you'd know better than I do, that the truth always does come out.
Yeah, amen.
You know? And there's two or three verses. I think there's one in Matthew I can remember that, you know, basically the lies will not remain lies forever. The truth always comes out. You know, I think in my life that's the case. Ultimately, it may take time, may take a long time, may take a lot of work and a lot of research, but the government lies, and the government has lied on Obama's birth certificate, and I think tonight with Sheriff Arpaio, I'm pretty well prepared to know what they're going to say, and I think it's going to be a eye-opening press conference that I really recommend everybody listen to.
Yeah, absolutely, and we'll be off the air by then. I'll turn it on myself, but I pretty much, you know, have followed it all the way through. Like I said, you know, when I first heard about it, you know, I wasn't 100% convinced because it was, you know, there was so much back and forth. After I talked with you about it, I was 100% convinced, and I remained so ever since. Because, you know, that goes back to your work. Well, you know, I can't wait to get this book. It's a parody. It's a lighter thing that folks you really should get because, you know, you end the Obama administration on a lighter note. But your work, Jerome, is so well put out. You know, even like you talk about government cover-ups, the cover-up about the oil was just astounding. I didn't know that about that.
Well, and, you know, I always have felt that my work is, you know, guided by God. It's certainly the way I write and how it comes to me. I see it immediately, all my books instantly. I don't work with notes. I don't work with outlines. I just start writing. And I'm writing almost as fast as I can type in many instances. And that's just hard to, for me, even to understand how it happens. But I attribute it to God. I attribute it to the, you know, Holy Spirit and the power of being able to channel information that is important to have the people in front of the people. It's not always, but what I write is not always believed right away, and I'm often scorned for it, but, you know, that's neither here nor there. It doesn't really affect me or bother me one way or the other. I like this Good Night Obama, and of course, if you look at my reviews on Amazon, they all say it's a hate book, and, you know, it's racist, and the left has no sense of humor. I mean,
if they're saying that, it's working.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. You know, and I'm hoping people should ought to buy the book. You know, and hold it up at the inauguration when Obama's sitting up there. Just hold up "Goodnight Obama" and say, you know, "Goodbye, Obama." Let him see the book.
Yeah, that sounds like a great idea. Really. That's absolute. I'm so glad to see him go, and I, like you say, I'm so glad that Hillary, you know, I don't know if it could have been worse, or I think it would have been worse than Obama. I don't know, but
Hillary would have been worse than Obama because Hillary is an angry, mean person and very vindictive and nasty, like Trump said about her. you know, that one debate where he said, such a nasty person. Well, she is. Obama is socialist and he's communist, you know, basically, and he doesn't believe in God, and there's all kind of, I don't think he's any religion, quite frankly. Although I think his culture, being raised in Islam, he's much more comfortable with Islam. And I think, you know, the whole picture here is one that we'd have had Obama on, you know, steroids if it had been Hillary, and
right.
She would have, you know, she would have just been, I keep thinking of her as, a, you know, kind of an evil witch. I mean, she's nasty, mean.
Yeah,
you know, and,
I agree, because, you know, I followed the Clintons from clear back, you know, when, you know, years ago when they first started running for office, you know, with all of Whitewater and all the other things, and Hillary has always seemed to me, and the Clintons period, as that's the only way I can describe them, as something evil, Jerome. And so I think you're absolutely right on that.
You know, and the whole nature of the United States of America is built for a moral people and a God-believing people. And I want to see God and Jesus Christ put back into the schools. I want to see God and Jesus Christ put back into the public square. I want to see, and you know, I'm Harvard educated. I have a PhD in Harvard. I didn't go to Harvard for religious conversion.
Yeah, clearly not. We'll talk about that in a minute. We've got to go to a break. I pray you got time to come back and talk with us a little more after the break.
I'll stay with you for a while, sure.
I want
to get ready for this press conference at the beginning of the hour, so if I can get away a little bit before the beginning of the hour, that would
not
be
a problem. We'll just talk about 10 minutes when you come back, and I'll let you go. I just got a couple more questions.
I look forward to that.
Okay, folks, check it out. That was what was that? It was goodnightobama.com. You can get it. Also, go to WorldNet Daily and Google Jerome Kersey, WorldNet Daily, and you'll see a lot of great articles that he's did. Check out some of his other books, and we'll be back in 3 minutes.
Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Ranch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Folks, generally right now I talk a little bit about the Mission Church, but because of everything going on today, I'm going to get right back with Dr. Jerome Kersey because I got a couple of questions to ask him. Before, we're going to let him go early tonight because at WorldNet Daily you can see Sheriff Joe Arpaio streaming the evidence of Obama's birth certificate at the top of the hour. So are you there with me, Dr. Kersey? Are you still with me?
I'm right here, Pastor Dan. I'm right here.
Yeah, and I am so, so glad to have you. And just for the people, again, Arpaio is going to be announcing the evidence that he's gotten over the last, 8 years or whatever.
Well, yeah, it started in 2011, and his last, I think, report was in 2011. So it's really over the last 5 years of analysis, and we're going to hear the conclusions tonight. And I can tell you the conclusions are going to be that the birth certificate's a fraud.
Yeah, amen. Those of us that's been following it, of course we know and how it works. So that's going to be pretty dramatic. And the best place, folks, you should go to WorldNet. They got great servers and everything. Go over there and look at it. And if you haven't ever been to WorldNetDaily.com, you're really missing out on something. In fact, I'm sitting here, Jerome, with paperwork they just sent me for two or three different books. And Joseph just wrote a new book called The Restitution of All Things, which he sent me to read.
That should be a good book. I think that's going to be a good book.
Yeah, amen. I already read a little bit about it online, but yeah, it should be good. But anyway, back to you. I wanted to ask you this question. I know we're here talking about this wonderful book, Good Night, Obama, and I can't wait to get it, but this question I do have for you. You know, we're hearing a lot of this hoopla about the electoral people and all this stuff. You know, do you think we should worry about any of that, or do you think there's anything there?
No, I don't think there's any chance the Electoral College will do anything irresponsible. There's always a few electors who do go against the law and vote their conscience, whatever that means to them. There's always a few. But Donald Trump has got enough of a margin that even if there are five or six that decide to do it, which I'd be surprised at, I don't think there's going to be 10 electors who decide to change.
Mm-hmm.
The Constitution's written and the laws are written such that the electors are bound to vote the way the state voted. And it would be major consequences if any of the electors decided not to vote the way the state voted. I mean, that would be almost unconscionable. I can't imagine it.
Right.
And, you know, it's just not going to happen. The chances of it are just too slim. It's too wild an idea. But what it shows is the degree to which the Democrats are just in denial. I mean, they are completely hysterical. And the hypocrisy with Hillary in the third debate, you know, saying to Donald Trump that he couldn't object to the results if he lost because she thought she was going to win.
Right.
And then she loses and she objects to the election. I mean, it's just completely hypocritical, and anybody who follows these Democrats are not the Democrats of John Kennedy or Hubert Humphrey or that era. These are the Democrats of Bill Ayers and the extreme radical far right, and they're truly socialists, if not outright communists.
Yeah.
They don't follow the rules. They don't play fair. They don't tell the truth. They lie. And they engage in hypocrisy. And, you know, anybody reading the Bible and really evaluating what the Democrats do and how they behave, the freedoms they've taken away, the lies that they've told, you know, you can't even say radical Islamic terrorism. Barack Obama has never said that. He won't associate terror and Islam. Well, you know, we don't have to condemn the whole religion. But we are going to condemn anybody who uses religion for violent purposes. And, you know, if Muslims do that, then that's radical Islamic terrorism, and it's got to be said correctly in order to be dealt with. The speech has to be authentic to the reality. Our speech has to reflect what's true.
Right, absolutely. Absolutely. They're just out and out liars, and they're sore losers, and they're trying anything, you know. I know people even talking about maybe Congress challenging electoral votes. I don't think Congress is.
Not going to happen. Not going to happen. Donald Trump is going to be president. He's preparing to come into office. He's got his appointments being made to the cabinet. There's absolutely zero chance that anything will happen except that Donald Trump will be elected.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I've noticed the people that he's been putting in charge, you know, like even Perry, you know, he doesn't like the agency that he's being put in charge of, so what a great person to put in charge of that agency.
Yeah, I like that one, especially since it was the Energy Department that Perry was wanting to close and he couldn't remember it. That's me. I love putting him in charge of an agency he wants to close and can't remember the name of. And I think there's really a determination on the part of President-elect Trump to get control of the government away from the Democrats. I mean, this questionnaire that they sent out to the Department of Energy, demanding to know, you know, who in the department is in favor of this climate nonsense,
right,
shows that they're not just going to let the Democrats sit in place and that'd be business as usual. And, you know, the climate nonsense is particularly offensive. The, you know, the science shows that the sun is in a minimal period of time with sunspots, and the correlation with Earth temperatures. I mean, it's, you know, you got a news bulletin for these wacky Democrats, and that is sun heats Earth.
Yeah, amen. Duh. 1 + 1 = 2. But, you know, actually, in the bottom of climate control, in reality, it's just all about control and about taking down the West. But
and New World Order government to have a UN tax. It's about an international tax to redistribute income through the UN. That's what it's about. That's what the socialists are after. And they want to tear down America and hurt the industrial base by not allowing, you know, there's nothing wrong with carbon fuels.
And, right.
And any, you can burn carbon fuels intelligently, or you can burn them, you know, we have less smog than we used to have in Los Angeles in the 50s.
Right.
You can take anything and you can use it unwisely, but, you know, God didn't put everything here on the earth has a purpose if it's used correctly.
Yeah, amen. Absolutely. China's one that's got all the smog from using it incorrectly, you know.
Right.
Amen. Well, let's point back to this book again, and then I want to let you go so you have plenty of time to get ready for that. I know it's really important. So, Good Night, Obama, a parody. Give them just another little shot about it.
I'll give you, you know, it's cartoons, and it goes all the way through really trying to laugh at the things. I'll point to the one picture I kind of like. Obama's exiting stage left in his pajamas, and he's got this pickup truck in front of him. The pickup truck, of course, is got all the guys with their weapons. They got an American flag in the back of the pickup truck, and one of these gentlemen, like a farmer, is standing there, and he's holding the Holy Bible, so you can see it says Holy Bible, and Obama's looking like he's scared and running off the stage left and says, "And good night to all those clinging to their Bibles and their guns."
Well, that's funny.
The body of America clinging to their Bibles and guns are the ones that are still going to be here, and Obama's going to be gone. And that's what this book is about. We need to have the last laugh at Obama. So good night, Obama.
This is a good book to give away, folks, as present, whether you give it away for Christmas or Hanukkah or whatever. You know, it's a good gift to give away, just to give it away. I'm going to order it just as soon as I get off the radio. I can't wait. Well, brother, thanks for being on with me, and I hope to have you back again sometime. So,
look forward to it. God bless, and Merry Christmas.
All right, you be blessed. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, folks, that was Dr. Jerome Carsey at Harvard University. I mean, he has written a lot of books, very important books. And, you know, again, you know, if you can turn on your computers, get on WMD a little later and hear about this birth certificate evidence. It's I have always personally believed that at the end of the Obama administration, that the truths, that things that we know to be truths, like his birth certificate being fake and the other things, that would come out. You know, people have a tendency to talk because, look, there's going to be people that, this is a prediction, you know, this is thus saith the Lord, but it's a prediction. I think that some of the people that have known him in his life, Dr. Jerome even pointed out about his homosexual tendencies or whatever, I believe some of those people will come forward afterwards because, look, they can make a ton of money off of a book telling about their life with Obama. I believe a lot of truth will come out after the fact because, see, the man's no longer going to be in power. They're not going to be afraid of him. And so I believe a lot of truth. And Dr. Croce's right. The Bible says that. You know, the truth's going to come out. The truth will set you free. But, you know, the truth will come out. Lies, you know, have a funny thing about them is, you know, lies are usually always exposed. You know, the truth always perseveres. You know, the timing of it, well, that's up to the Father. But usually comes out. Anyway, back to that book. Good Night, Obama. It's like a cartoon book. And for those of us that have been really warning about all this heaviness of Obama in all these past months and actually years, then for us, it's a lighter note. It looks like it's going to be funny. No, I haven't ordered it yet, but I am really going to order it. It says hardcover for $11.30 on Amazon. There's some for $9.48 on Amazon that are brand new. I'm going to order it just as soon as I get this program done. But now, having said that, should we worry about come Monday? Keep praying. We have to keep praying for Trump because, I'm with Dr. Croce. I don't believe that there's going to be an air interference, but you know what? It's crazy out there. It is literally crazy, and it's like you got the devil by, you ever got a cat by the tail and see how hard it fights, you know? Well, I think we got the devil by the tail in this instance, Hillary Clinton, and she's not wanting to go down. She is going to go down fighting. They're going to try absolutely everything. And so until Trump is actually sworn in and made president, I think that we need to really be prayed up about him. And then even afterwards, we need to keep praying for him. A lot of you folks that were skeptical about Trump, go look and see at his pics. It's like Dr. Croce pointed out. He said, well, the woman that he's going to put in charge of the education, you know, says she wants to put prayer back in. She does say that straight out. She wants to put prayer back in the school to allow it. And while people say, well, she said she wouldn't let all prayer back in the school. Well, you know, in order to allow prayer back in the school, they would have to allow all prayer back into the school. But the point is if Christians stand up during this administration, you're going to be given an opportunity to take America back. And that's what I've been saying all along. No, I don't believe Americans yet had a revival, but I do believe that America can change its course if we will pray and stand up and start talking, you know, and this is the time to do it. With this president coming into office, he said he's going to free up the church where they can talk freely about, you know, without fear of their tax thing being taken away and all that. Of course, you know, we're not a 501(c). And we pray that you would make donations to us, but we'll talk about that in a minute. But Trump says that he's going to fix that. But we need to keep praying for him because, you know, we've got the cat by the tail or the devil by the tail right now, and it's fighting hard, hard, hard. And so we need to stay prayed up, and we need to be diligent, and that's what we need to do. And right now, even with this is a great time for you to consider that in your local elections, maybe getting involved with your local elections, because everything really does start. Trump talks about turning most everything back to the states and let it be for the states. Well, if the federal government does that, then the states is where it's going to matter the most at. That's where abortion is going to be won or lost, is at the state level. That's where education will be won and lost, at the state level. And so on and so forth, your gun rights and everything else. If Trump indeed does what he says he will do and turn most things back to the states, because after all, that's who's supposed to be doing it anyway. Basically, the government is only supposed to be helping us with commerce, you know, so we can have a free commerce and a safe one, you know, guard us, and to protect the country. That is their main purpose. You know, all these other things that the government does is just really, you know, it's not copacetic. But anyway, so pray about that. Okay, we skipped the commercial in the middle because I wanted to ask Dr. Croce a couple of things because he had to leave to get ready for, to watch this Ohio thing. But I'm asking you, you know, you need to really pray about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. Well, why? Well, here's a good example. You know, and you hear a controversy over, you know, Jerome said Merry Christmas to me, and I didn't say Merry Christmas back. I usually say Happy Hanukkah back, and I didn't. I just said, you know, blessings or whatever. But, you know, while I'm not a it's hard to say. Let me, how do I say it? You know, I kept Christmas for many, many years, you know, all my life. Loved the songs, loved the music, you know, all the stuff, the food, you know, and I loved the trees. But, you know, I grew up in Messiah and I found out the truth. And the truth of the matter is it's not his birthday, you know. And for generations, you know, Christians have been handed lies. You know, Christmas is and back was outlawed when it first came to this country. Because of the fact that it was a drunken orgy. In fact, that being a drunken orgy was that's how George Washington, the biggest night that he attacked the Hessian troops, they were drunk because of Christmas, you know. And so he attacked them, caught them unaware. But here's the point. So, you know, you say, well, I'm doing it for Christ. Well, I'm not going to jump on the bandwagon and like so many others and condemn Christians over Christmas. I will try to teach about it like I always have. You know, actually, Hanukkah falls on the same day this year, December 25th, and December 25th. You know, Hanukkah was when Yeshua was conceived. We know that from the Bible. We're not going to get into all that tonight, but he was conceived. The Holy Spirit, I guess that's how it worked, but it sure seems that way, was a Father implanted Yeshua in Mary. And that happened during the Feast of Dedication. 9 months later would have been the Feast of Tabernacles, as simple as that. That's when he was born, you know. But the point is, they fell together on a date this year. The 25th is going to be the first day of Hanukkah. We celebrate the light came into the world. And so you folks that celebrate Christmas, just keep in mind that that is when the light came into the world, you know. And I know that you want to say, well, that was through birth. Well, does it really matter? Here's the point. Whatever you do, do it in Yeshua. And you folks out there that are strong against Christmas, I say to you, Christians are saved people. They're your brothers and sisters. You know, they may have a date wrong, but that doesn't mean that they're not saved. And so you need to treat them with love, your fellow Christians, with love and respect, because they are part of the body of Messiah, just as you are, that know the truth, that keep Hanukkah and keep the appointed times. You cannot be mean to your brother or sister. If you want to do anything with them, you need to use it as a teaching moment and a moment in love. Don't do anything to your brothers and sisters out of hate. In fact, don't do anything to anybody out of hate. You need to get that out of your head. So what about the Wichita Mission Church? Well, they all know over there we don't celebrate Christmas. When they say Merry Christmas to me, I say Happy Hanukkah. But we're always open on December 25th. And why is that? That's because the agencies are all closed on December 25th. And if you've noticed, all the stores are closed. Guess what? Homeless hang out at the stores and other places of business. But they're going to be closed. And so, yeah, there's going to be the shelters. Some of them will stay open during the daytime, but there's a huge percentage of people that need a place to go. We'll be overpacked on December 25th, like we always are. So we're always there, you know. We're always there for them when they're closed. And so we're always open on December 25th. Some brother emailed me and started a controversy saying, well, you know, oh, Pastor Dan's trading Hanukkah for Christmas. And I'm not trading Hanukkah for Christmas. You know, Hanukkah is Hanukkah. That's what I'm going to be celebrating. But we're going to be open December 25th because we are needed. So I should, what, shut my door and say, these people shut their doors and they say, well, because it's Christmas, we're not going to open. You know, it's our holiday. You know, it's Christ's birthday, so we're going to close. We're going to be off work and be with family. Well, should I do the opposite and say, well, because it's Christmas and it's not the right day, then I should be closed because otherwise I'm celebrating it? Well, then what about all these poor people that are left outside? What about these people that need a sandwich or need first aid or over-the-counter medications? What about those people? Who helps those people on that day? I'm telling you, we do, and we've been consistently doing it. 17 years we've been doing it. That's how long Wichita Mission Church has been around. We'll start our 18th year realistically in June, but this would be our 17th, December 25th over there. And so we need your support. You know, Messiah's Branch, we're a mission church. Most people that have something like we do have a big organization behind them, or they have a big church congregation that can do all these things. Messiah's Branch is, while we're not a 501(c), we're like a home church with a building, you know. Yeah, we had a pretty sizable congregation, but once we started doing what the Father kept me up all night and told me to do, we lost that congregation because they didn't want anything to do with the homeless and poor. But we do have people that come that are in our congregation, but it's small, and we're not rich people. And it takes thousands of dollars to do what we do for the homeless and poor. You know, it's not cheap. It really isn't. And so while I am in the process of a book, and I don't know whether it'll be a hit and I make some money to give over to the ministry or not, but the point is we don't sell anything. All we have is your blessings upon us that I get that you probably already donate to your local church and your own local ministries and things, and so we're either a second or third donation down the line for you. So, but I pray that you consider a sacrificial donation this month, because or any kind of a donation. You know, $100 will help a lot. You know, if 10 people do $100, that's $1,000. And, you know, that'll pay next month's bills. Because let me tell you, December and January are our slowest months for donations, part of which is because a lot of people know that we don't celebrate Christmas, so they won't touch us during December. You know, and other people, they just don't have the money because they are buying presents and doing things, which I don't condemn them for that at all whatsoever. But we go down in donations, and we usually don't pull out of it until income tax time. And so we really do need your help and support. And by the way, I want to give a shout out to my wife, because on December 23rd this year, my wife and I will have been together a full 31 years. So it'll be our 31st wedding anniversary. While I plan being with her for an eternity and everything, you know, Mom or Linda, you know, and you always freak out when I call you Linda because that is your name, dear. But you say, well, you always call me Mom. No. Well, tonight I'm saying, Linda, my dear, happy 31st anniversary. And I love you. I folks, so pray about a donation for the Wichita Mission Church. We try to use your donations wisely. Also, radio, yes, we are working on the video thing, and I was just talking to Frank, the producer, about it, which, by the way, Frank's going to be our guest coming up in the next program. And we've got some really good future programs coming with you. One, Joel Richardson's going to be on with us in February. Everybody's always talking about Mystery Babylon and everything. Well, Joel Richardson has a new book out in February called Mystery Babylon, Unlocking the Bible's Greatest Prophetic Ministry, or Mystery. And so that'll be real good. I am praying that I can talk Joel into being my first guest in February to share the picture screen with me. Now, while we will be doing warming up to us to learn how to do video, I'm hoping that he'll be the first guest that we can do a split screen. I'll be on one side asking questions, and no, I haven't sprung it on Joel yet, but I'm waiting for his date in February to get back with me, and then I'm going to spring it on him and talk to him. And if you're listening, Joel, so I guess you already know the plan. But anyway, Joel Richardson will be along, and we have some other great guests lined up to you coming in the first year. Yeah, this month it's been kind of slow. Well, really ever since Thanksgiving, because, you know, a lot of people that are potential guests are out there doing other things, and it's just kind of hard this season to get new guests on. And a lot of them don't like to be on radio because we have less listeners during December. And so, we'll have some great guests for you. We'll still have some this month. I'm not sure who all's on later this month with me, but it's going to be great. But pray about a donation for the Wichita Mission Church. We really, really do need your help. Why? Well, you know, we are responsible to care one for another, as we're our brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? your heart. You can donate online or mail a check or money order, and so pray about it. Support us so we can care for the people that the Father sends us. Now we've got to get out of here before I just get flat shut off. Lord our God, Father King Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and His face shines upon you, and He's gracious to you, and gives you peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.